Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday that like yesterday I would have really appreciated, but right now it feels like a chibi Thursday, you know?
Yeah, I won't argue with that.
Yeah, like I feel angry and I feel misled and I feel hoodwinked, actually.
So you're feeling like it should be a Thursday? Maybe what if we just pretended it was Thursday?
I'm all about like actually living in delusional fairyland. I think people, I'm actually jealous when I see like really dumb delusional people because they frustrate me, but I'm jealous that they're probably happier than I am.
No, like what if we just told ourselves it's Thursday? Bear with me. Told ourselves it's Thursday. And then like tomorrow it will be Thursday. And then we're like, hey, it's Thursday. We get to do it all over again.
No, but if today, like all day I thought it was Thursday, I would expect tomorrow to be Friday. And if it wasn't, I'd be fucking pissed.
Okay.
I didn't mean to start out the show like on such a negative note. I just felt like yesterday when we sat here, I had a realization that, you know, the next time I'd be doing the show, it was Wednesday and like I'd be halfway through. I had such a busy day. Like yesterday felt like 2 days and today.
2 days.
Shout out for the comments. Should today be Thursday? Yes or no?
You know why? It's because we did a podcast episode last night. So like that felt like Wednesday, thus making today Thursday. But speaking of which, we did a Patreon episode last night for our Patreon, and it was an episode of The Toast because we felt like there were so many stories this week that some of the stories that would have been chosen weren't chosen, like the JV squad. So we did another episode of Toast, and that's available for you to listen to on the Patreon right now. But that's why we feel like yesterday was 2 days.
We picked those stories up off the cutting room floor, and let me tell you, they needed to be spoken about.
They did. They needed to be broken down.
I feel like actually after yesterday's episode on The Toast, like I learned, like it's this kind of thread that's been happening to me. So on yesterday's episode, we talked extensively about Taylor and Travis's trip to the Bahamas. And I was telling Jackie that there's this hilarious and cute video. Somebody took on the property of Taylor and Travis, like getting on this swing that's like, it's like a hanging from a tree and it's above the ocean and they get on it and they fall and it's so cute. The video went viral and apparently it's not them. And I really can't live anymore like in this age of misinformation. I'm like a really smart internet user. I'm not an idiot. You know, I see people, literally there was like this clearly AI fake TMZ article being shared, not even from TMZ, saying Josh Peck's wife is leaving him because she found out he took hush money from Dan Schneider. Like so absurdly stupid. And somebody had the nerve to send it to me and be like, is this real? Are you real? Like you're actually dumb. And so I'm not dumb. I'm actually really smart. And I feel like I'm kind of a sort of jaded internet user. And I constantly find myself being hoodwinked online. And it makes me think for the people who aren't as smart and internet friendly as me, I'm getting hoodwinked every day.
Yeah, I shudder for them. But I also think you are online a lot.
Okay, I didn't expect this to
be a referendum.
I did not intend for this conversation to become a referendum on my internet usage, yes.
But I think that you see everything that's online and you've kind of cycled through so much, they start showing you fake shit.
So you say, I'm too good at my job. My job is to know what's going on.
No, but now you're reporting fake news.
No, I know. It happens to me a lot. People are always like, Turdy, that's not real. And thankfully, it's nothing like monumental. You know, it's Taylor and Travis in the Bahamas. But
I want to see the video. So it was other people.
It was a very cute video of two people.
Well, I'm happy for those people that they had a cute, sweet time.
I think honestly, like the AI, like I get hoodwinked all the time and I'm not stupid. And it's like these things like okay, I always use this example and it's meaningless, but the Pope wearing the puffer jacket. Remember that was like the first AI piece of content that was created by AI that like went super viral and it was like so funny. And these things go viral like the Taylor and Travis video. And then the fact that they're not true don't go viral as much as the video did.
Yeah, but also at the moment, all those things are pretty harmless.
Yes.
But one day it will be harmful, full of harm.
I mean, we were even saying this yesterday about the P. Diddy situation. Like when I was on Twitter, like there were so many random things being said. And like, that's actually harmful. It's serious.
Yeah, but that's different. Like theories are different than like manipulation of assets and passing something off as true that's not. Like someone saying, I think this, you're allowed to think whatever you want.
Yes, yes, yes. But like fake headlines and stuff, I can't do it anymore. Like I am feeling dumb and I'm not. I went to college, which means nothing, but I did.
I think you're not going to like what I have to say. So I'm not going to say it.
What are you going to say?
But I already said it. I need to
touch grass.
Scale back. Yeah. Touch grass.
I agree.
I like that phrase.
I love that phrase because nothing will humble a mentally ill internet user more than telling them to seriously, like, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Step outside.
Touch grass.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one lesson today. Hopefully today's episode will be full of lessons, life lessons.
Oh, but it's important that you touch grass after you finish listening to the episode of The Toast.
Oh, yeah, no, no. Stay online to listen to our podcast and follow our social media accounts.
Follow our social, what are you, 90? Like, don't forget to like us on Facebook.
And subscribe wherever you listen.
You know, yeah, I'm drinking
touch grass.
This protein shake that I love, but it's like got a hole in the bottom. There's protein shake all over my sweater. There's
a song for that. There's a hole in the bottom. Well, drinking all it's hole this in the bottle. Wine.
Still applies.
Still applies.
Oh, and I've been getting a lot of outreach, like a lot of community outreach, people wanting updates like on my Weight Watchers journey. Yeah, I lost a pound. And I talked a lot about it on our Patreon episode last night, so I'm not going to, you know, double dip. So if you're interested, it's in that episode.
It's all there.
All set to say, like, I'm loving life on WW.
Do you see last night? It's funny that WW is meant to be a shortened version of Weight Watchers, yet it's actually kind of more syllables.
And I do think as a company,
Weight Watchers.
I do think as a company, they also backtracked on that rebrand. I think they're okay being called Weight Watchers now.
Wait, that's so funny. WW is six syllables and Weight Watchers is 2 to 3.
It's impossible. WW never caught on because it's literally a tongue twister.
And then, of course, you want to add the third W.
No, and something about, like, Weight Watchers, it's so, like, la, la, you know, it's like, ah.
WWW dot. All of a sudden, you got the dot.
Right, right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that last night I sent you a WW creator.
I was very inspired.
That shared WW tips for WW girls.
See, it's a tongue twister. It's giving rural juror.
I sent you a Weight Watchers creator who posts Weight Watchers tips for Weight Watchers girls.
Yeah, I appreciated that. I need to dive deep. I said I kind of feel like I don't have a community. The Toasters group for Weight Watchers, which has like 5,000 people in it, is like inactive. Like nobody posts in it. Can we bring that group back? Like
maybe that you need to post.
I need tips and tricks from the girlies. Like I'm just loving it.
Post a call out.
I just did. That was
bring the group back.
That was me calling it out.
Oh, no, no. Post in the group.
Yeah.
Get that algorithm moving.
Because
again.
There is like a open to the public group. I think Weight Watchers like started it. There's like millions of people in there. And it's just like, it's a bunch of grandmas and I love them. But like their problems are not my problems, you know?
Sure.
Like I need the girlies to be like, how are we cocktailing? Like I need, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I saw this creator was having some applesauce with cinnamon for 0 points. Does that sound of interest to you?
I happen to love applesauce.
But like that tracks. Okay, it's baby food.
Yeah, Mott's, right? Like I don't have to go get organic.
I think Mott's counts.
Because I had some crap organic shit, I think, at your house. It was not the same.
When did you have applesauce at my house?
Maybe it was like Rosh Hashanah or no, Hanukkah.
Well, yeah. I make my own applesauce.
Exactly.
It's just apples. That's why it's 0 points.
I want the chemicals for Mott's.
Might not be 0 points if it has added sugar.
Right. That's why I asked. Mott's is so good. To me, like Mott's, Smucker's, those like kid, like I love those brands.
Yeah.
They're delicious.
Who doesn't? Nobody. They're filled with good stuff.
Oh my God. Do we have any food news today?
No.
Okay. There's like big food news. I don't know if people are really upset at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I didn't see, but I'm already at 6 stories whittling down to 5 during the ad break. So feel free to share it now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, part of their, they made a pledge in 2014 that all of their chicken, which is like their number one sold item, is going to be antibiotic free. As of like yesterday, they're like NVM antibiotics in.
Yeah, they're bringing back antibiotics. Did they say why?
Big pharma. No kidding. I don't know. I have to assume it has something to do with their business model. Like maybe they can't like get the access.
Or the chickens were sick.
Maybe they like can't get access to like that much antibiotic free chicken anymore. I don't know. It's giving supply chain.
Yeah. It's give poisoning the food is what it's giving.
Yeah. No, they want to
giving poisoning the food and then yelling at us for being fat.
Yeah. No, the food in America like is disgusting. Everybody knows that. That's why people go to Europe and eat pasta for a week and end up losing weight because their food is real and ours is fraudulent. And this is just another like part of that. Yeah. Fraudulent food. That's why. No wonder why people are growing their own like veggies and chickens, like for real.
She's seen the light.
No, I get it. I'm too lazy, but I get it. And I just
saw the light inside, so shine bright.
I do want to say, like, I know the light and I want to eat the light. Like, I love all of our chemically, like, disgusting foods. I really do.
Just wait, you guys. On Turdy's, like, you know, the wheel of turdy. She
moves
on her.
By the way, the wheels of turdy move slow. What's that thing about justice?
they move slow, but they grind just fine.
Literally.
Yeah, no, like she's here on the journey. She's on her health journey too. Like she's a hop, skip, and a jump from chickens. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'll keep them on my terrace.
For itching for chickens.
Totally. Romeo would love chickens.
You're going to have one of those like lettuce growers soon. Lettuce grow, I think it's called.
That's so funny. Ben was actually just talking about starting like some sort of growing his own herbs because he's been cooking so much on our balcony that we don't know what we're going to do with yet. And I was like, no, you're not. But you can get one of those white tall tower things. Is that lettuce grow?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, you can do that. Even though, like, I know he'll just, it's another thing he'll start and not finish. And I'm not in the mood to pick up the pieces, honestly.
It's so true. I know Shannon just got one. We were supposed to be sisters in gardening, but then she went that route.
Yeah.
And that's not the route I see for myself.
Oh, you're kind of calling her out for being, like, a fraudulent gardener, and you want to be, like, real, like, hands in the dirt.
Well, first of all, I can't call her out for being a fraudulent gardener. I've not done shit for gardening. So, like, at least she's taking steps and making change, and she thoroughly researched it. I support her, but I just, like, don't want that. That's not what I see for myself.
There is like a perfect part of your backyard that's like made for a
ready
garden.
Ready to be a garden.
It's this sort of like secluded patch of dirt.
That I have set aside and not done anything with because I know that one day it will be something. And it will be a garden, a cold plunge. And every day I'm getting closer to breaking ground on that, honestly.
I love that for you.
Yeah. So
that's so Hubermeister approved.
Oh my God. Speaking of Huberman. So
I would love to do. I would literally love to. Speaking of Huberman.
So you said yesterday that Huber tip was to wait 10 minutes after you woke up to drink your coffee, which I said made no fucking sense. But then someone in the comments clarified to wait 90 minutes is what he's saying.
Oh, I saw somebody in the comments say an hour. People keep lying. Like,
okay. So, and they said like, because it messes with your hormones. So don't tell me twice.
Yeah.
So this morning I woke up and usually I have a million things to do before I can get to my coffee. But like this morning I was trying to be intentional about waiting 90 minutes. I couldn't do it.
90 is long. I think an hour is fine. I saw an hour.
I made it to an hour before. That's, I was fine. Like, fuck this.
Also, yesterday's episode was truly one of my favorites. Like this Huberman story, like I couldn't listen to us recap it enough. I think I watched it twice. Well, once while I was on the treadmill, it got me through my 5K training. Like I didn't even listen to any music. I was just cackling. I need to thank the writer of this article. It has brought me such joy. Like people's takes on it, the recaps of it, our recap. It is truly, and then there was like, you know, a couple of people like who were taking it seriously, being like, as a woman, I was like, okay, stop.
Oh, you lost me.
Yeah, like taking, like, just stop. Like, so don't listen to his podcast anymore if you're so offended. Like, don't, we don't care. Like, this isn't an airport. You don't have to announce your departure. But I've just been giggling nonstop. And I want to thank Andrew. I want to thank the writer of the article. I'd like to thank Sarah, even though I have found my,
I saw what you sent me, you guys, Sarah's credibility. Wait, like,
now I don't want to be slanderous, but because I didn't
don't
do any,
say who
I'm
or
not,
what.
I'm not. I just got this like random email, some girl being like, listen, I have information on Sarah. And they're like, she told me Sarah's name. And apparently Sarah was like the founder of like some sort of like well company, a company about wellness. I don't know if it was food or medicine. I don't care. And it turned out to be like a total scam. She was like lying to all of her customers. So she herself has like a questionable past.
She has a credibility issue.
And that was obviously left out of the article.
If Sarah is who this person said. Right. She is.
Nobody came forward with, you know, any information on Eve, which I would have been more into.
I need to know who Eve is. Also, people were saying the article is John Tucker Must Die.
Yes, of course.
She should have called it Andrew Huberman Must Die.
I mean, in the Andrew, it tracks, honestly, I could see Jesse Metcalf playing Andrew Huberman in the biopic of his life.
Yeah. Actually, Jesse Metcalf was just making headlines today.
Oh,
about what? John Tucker Must Die, like talking about how he wasn't eating for the role.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because he was getting like John Tucker-fied. It was giving Huberman, honestly.
It was giving Huberman. I have to say, there are few people who had more of an impact on me as a young woman than Jesse Metcalf. John Tucker Must Die, and then more importantly, his role as the gardener, whose name is escaping me, John. Oh, his name is John in both, yeah. In Desperate Housewives. Like, there was a time where I seriously, like, was so in love with Jesse Metcalf. And he still is hot. Like, I want to thank him for, like, aging respectfully and, like, not being creepy making TikToks, like, about his former youth. Like, he's really aging
nicely.
Taking
his talents to the Hallmark Channel.
As that's where he should go. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Handsome leading man.
That's what HLM. He has been and what he always will be on the Hallmark Network.
Yeah.
Handsome leading man. Like, honestly, he should play Bruce Springsteen in Bruce Springsteen's biopic, which is a story we recapped on the Patreon yesterday. You guys, the person in talks to play Bruce Springsteen, I don't want to spoil it for the episode, is so perfect. And I'm just excited about it. I can't believe like that's a true testament to how good the stories have been this week, because biopic casting news is some of our favorite news.
We wouldn't miss it.
For the world.
But just so you know, like nothing's signed yet. So you haven't like missed anything, but this is what's percolating. Yeah, rumors.
I'm tired of rumors started. I'm sick of being followed. Literally me after like a successful episode of the Toast.
Literally you after starting a rumor about yourself.
That's literally you after telling people you want them to think you're on Ozempic. Has that been sufficiently? Because now like, I know you don't have TikTok, but all the comments are like, oh my God, is Jackie on Ozempic? They're trying to like help you.
Oh.
How do you feel? Like that was, we successfully started a rumor about ourselves.
Yeah, no, I feel good because it was so funny. That's what I feel good about.
Totally.
I feel good about the funny content that was made.
You should.
Based on a joke I made.
Yeah, based on like an original thought of yours.
Hashtag proud podcaster.
Hashtag job well done.
Hashtag employee of the month.
Okay, calm down. I think there's literally two employees here.
Oh my God, we should do a segment at the end of every month.
I love
it. Employee of the month, where like who shined?
Yeah, like no, and like we have to quote the other. And actually, I don't think we should be competing every month because like that'll create resentment.
Okay, that's right. I think we should be nominating each other and explaining like why you were an employee of the month. And every month we have two employees of the month. So it's me and you.
Yeah, of course. Okay, we need to just be conscious of like the last day. By the way, it's literally coming up.
It's coming up. Okay.
So can we write this down?
It's a Sunday, so maybe we'll do it on Monday.
No, it has to be like the last episode of the month. So it would be Friday.
Okay.
Fine. But Friday's the end of the week. But it won't always be Friday.
Okay, fine.
Or the first of the month, which is more.
Well, the first of the month is April Fool's, so we've got to be on guard.
So true, because I would be like jokingly nominating you.
Right,
yeah?
Right, mean. You okay, so know.
Let's just, we need to like map out the next couple of months and like set reminders for the segment.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Are we calling it Employee of the Month? That's just so regular.
No, I love it.
Okay. I literally would die for a segment. Segments are my favorite things.
And we've been slaying the segment department.
Yeah, there was a lull, you know, unburden yourselves, but...
Rip.
By the way, I just want to say, like, we didn't like it. There's a very small niche stanhood for
Unburden Yourselves found a new home.
On Patreon.
Unburden Yourselves has been rehomed.
Yeah.
To Patreon.
Yeah.
And that's where it shall reside.
I love.
Patreon is a home for a lot of segments that have gone out to pasture, like.
To pasture.
Things Our Husband Do That Annoy Us.
Six Man Award. Oh, what did you say?
Things our husbands do that annoy us.
Yes.
But that's perfect for Patreon in like a good way. That doesn't make sense for this show because we do pop culture. Yeah. Yeah, we're pop culture experts.
Oh my God. Are you on crack? Oh my God, by the way, your hormones.
Is there anything that's what I'm seeing right now. Cringe than calling yourself a pop culture expert?
No. I mean, what do you mean? I feel like we say that we are.
No, I know, but we are. In earnest, we are, but like cringe.
No, I mean, as your job title, it's like, yeah, get in line for unemployment. But
like we actually are. Like we're the foremost pop culture podcast, but still like cringe.
I hear what you're saying. So like if, you know, someone's on TV and it says like, you know, Jada Smith. I don't know why she came to mind. I don't know why I said Jada Smith. Okay, Jane Doe. And it said, instead of like whatever their title was, it said pop culture expert. I agree. It's giving sadness. But, you know, we technically could do that, but I would never. It would say author, entrepreneur, podcaster, comedian. There would be so many things before pop culture expert.
For sure. But at the end of the day, like you're all of those things because you are a pop culture expert.
And I think, you know, as kind of stated earlier on in the show, I'm not even a pop culture expert because half the things I think are fake.
True.
Because AI.
No, but you're an expert. You're an expert. Because you eventually learn.
Yeah.
And then you share your wisdom with others. As experts do.
Very Huberman of me.
Huberman. What's Huberman doing today?
Do you think he's like freaking or he?
Let me check his podcast. Like if he has episodes due, if he's taking a break.
I feel like taking a break would be a huge mistake. This article was a big nothing burger and like taking a vow of silence.
It would be
and,
a huge mistake.
It would be a huge mistake. Is that what you said?
Yeah. 2 days ago he posted an episode. So like he has a few days off. So I think he'll come back. Like,
is he weekly?
He'll be like, Huber what? Huber who?
Huber you? Does he do once a week or he does more than that?
You know, here's one from 5 days ago that says bonus, whatever the fuck that means. Then just, March 18th, March 11th, March 4th. Okay, it's giving weekly plus giving a bonus. Weekly. And then February 29th, bonus. So like,
I don't know. Does, I just look at people with weekly podcasts and I think to myself, like, get a job, you know?
But not Huberman because he has his lab and he has his girlfriends and he has his dog. He's very busy.
All he cares about is his friends and his teammates and his mom.
And his dog. Yesterday, I was like looking at myself zoomed out every time I was talking to Bruno.
Oh.
And thinking of how someone could spin it in an article to make me look and sound mentally crazy. Ill. Yeah, and it's so easy to do. So I actually, like, I have a lot of grace for Huberman in that department.
Huber grace.
I'm giving Huberman grace at the moment as it pertains to treating his dog like a human being, a child.
Correct.
So that's what I was doing yesterday.
And that's why today should be Thursday, to bring it back around.
Yeah. But it's not.
How are the stories today? We have Dear Toasters, which is our weekly advice segment, which I'm just, you know, juiced for.
Same on opposite day.
You guys know Jackie hates Dear Toasters, but I want the community to know. I will never let Dear Toasters die. Dear Toasters is the best. Everybody loves it. I don't know why you hate it so much. You have to do nothing except listen.
Here's why. Not why, but let me just explain where I'm coming from. To me, Dear Toasters, it's kind of like games. The idea of games. It's like, I don't like the idea of it. I find the idea very overwhelming. However, when I'm in it, I am in it to win it.
I don't think you comparing half-ass it to games.
When I play a game, once I get into a game, like, oh, I'm winning.
There was one time, literally one time in recent memory where Jackie really got into a game. And I'm not talking about like Quiplash. I'm talking about like board games and such. Do you remember that game of Monopoly?
Oh, and I was cracking you up.
Now, in, you know, it's important for context. Like I did smoke pot, which I never do. And then we played Monopoly and Jackie was the banker and she was like literally like robbing everyone, including herself. She was living below the poverty line. She was being so funny. I swear to God, there are a few moments in my life I would love to relive or like watch, you know?
Yeah, watch.
And if I could watch a tape, not even, I don't want to be a tape. I want to be like an invisible woman in the corner just watching us so happy. We were on vacation. It was just the four of us, right? The sisters?
The boys weren't playing with us?
No, it was literally it was just a sister's
game of Monopoly?
And I'm so glad I brought this up because I often wondered if anybody like remembers that game of Monopoly as a core memory as much as I do. Like it was probably like not to be a loser, like the happiest I've ever been.
Oh.
Like we can't play games on vacation anymore. Everyone's kids are like crying and screaming and throwing up. And we only had one kid at that time. It was Michaela. She was sleeping really good and Shapiro was watching her and we had everyone's full attention. And it was seriously the happiest I've ever been.
Oh, that's a beautiful memory. I know the time that you're talking about, but no, I don't think of it like you do.
Because you know when we go on vacation, like my dream is for us to play a game together. And it's like, even if I can convince everyone, which is the hardest thing to do, even if we make a plan, some kid throwing a tantrum, sick, cough, sleep, breast, like there's something. And I just want the attention of my full sisters on Monopoly. And I haven't gotten it since that very day.
Well, all set to say, that's how I feel about Dear Toasters. But when I'm in it, you have my full attention.
Good,
100%. I'm going to win. I'm going to give you the best advice. But the idea of it is overwhelming to me. And I think that's a fair assessment.
It might be a fair assessment, but I think I speak for the entire community when I say get over it. Like, grow up.
No, I'm over it. I'm not actively resisting Dear Toasters, except when, like, you know, I try and make you forget about it or try and push it for one reason or another.
Police, arrest her. She's resisting.
Resistance. Another word that's been
meaningless.
Yeah. Sad.
So speaking of Dear Toasters, that means we have a lot to do today. So perhaps we should dive in. Perhaps.
Okay. Without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you need to know.
Now, if you're listening to this show, it is highly likely that you are a millennial. And what's fabulous about that is it's time to add Clarins Multi-Active Cream into your daily routine. We are getting older, ladies, and it's time. It's just preventative, okay? as a millennial, like, it's just important that we do preventative things. And Clarence understands that. If you've been adulting for a while, the daily stress, you have binging Gossip Girl and listening to The Toast can really get to you. And sometimes we're not getting our recommended 8 hours of sleep because we're up so late, you know, watching Toast clips on TikTok. The good news is that Europe's number one skincare line has a solution that you can trust. It's rooted in nature and innovated with science. Clarence has a long legacy of creating industry-first, plant-forward products. Using a skin charger complex made of 2% niacinamide and sea holly bioextract, Clarence Multi-Active Cream has been clinically proven to target the first visible signs of aging by smoothing lines and wrinkles, refining pores, and evening tone and texture, and strengthening the skin's moisture barrier. Every time I use a Clarence product, I immediately repurchase it. If it comes into my life either through PR or I buy it myself, I've never disliked a Clarence product, and this one is no different. So I love their lip oils. I love their depuffing mask. It's literally one of my favorites. And the multi-active cream, I am completely done with. I just got another one. It smells so good. All their products are very, like, rich woman energy. They smell amazing. They look great on your shelf. So go to clarence.com/toast to get the multi-active day and night cream for 10% off, a free welcome gift, plus free shipping on your first order. That's clarins.com/toast with promo code toast. clarins.com/toast, promo code toast for 10% off, a free welcome gift, and free shipping. Today's episode is also brought to you by Prolon. These days, a lot of people are learning about the benefits of fasting, which can be, you know, mental and physical performance, weight loss, gut health. But of course, they worry about the whole not eating part. And that's why Prolon was created, a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe that they're fasting. So researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, supports cardiovascular health, and reduces abdominal fat. Prolon is not a diet. It is science. It is based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And it all starts with their 5-day program. So there's snacks, there's soups, there's beverages, and they are all designed to keep your body in a state of fasting without, of course, actually fasting. It is unlike anything you've ever experienced. It's no wonder why thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. So there's a lot of benefits, but of course, fasting is, like, not something I could truly ever do. And I like that it's like a fast, but with food, giving a new meaning to fast food. Right now, Prolon is offering Toast listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. So you have to go to prolonlife.com/toast. That's P-R-O-L-O-N life.com/toast for the special offer. prolonlife.com/toast for 10% off their 5-day nutrition program.
Thank you, Claudia.
You fall asleep?
No, sorry. I was reading. I was going running through my stories. I told you I had to get from 6 to 5.
Right. We're so blessed.
Yes, but we made it to 5. Our first story, Rebel Wilson's book excerpt has come out.
Oh, this is such good PR for her book.
Yes, she's describing the onset humiliation by Sacha Baron Cohen in a shocking memoir excerpt.
Let's hear it.
So Rebel Wilson describes feeling scared of her Grimsby co-star Sacha Baron Cohen in a shocking excerpt from her forthcoming memoir. She said in the book, quote, "It felt like every time I'd speak to SBC, he'd mention that he wanted me to go naked in a future scene. I was like, ha, I don't do nudity, Sasha." She goes on to recall that he subsequently summoned her, quote, via a production assistant to say she needed to film an additional scene for their 2016 movie. Again, that was Grimsby. Yeah. She said, quote, "Then he pulls his pants down. SBC says very matter-of-factly, okay, now I want you to stick your finger up my ass." And I'm like, what? No. She says she finally compromised by slapping his backside and improvising a few lines so she could, quote, get out of there. However, she later needed to film an intimate scene with the comedian. She said, quote, "I still had to simulate having sex with this guy. I still had to kiss him repeatedly. Months later, it really sank in that all this wasn't something that could be left off. I relayed to the producers that I would not be doing any promotion for the film." After calling
No wonder, I never heard of it.
Well, she called the film's lack of box office success karma enough. She insists she was not about canceling anybody by sharing her story. She said, "I'm sharing now because the more women talk about things like this, hopefully the less it happens."
Oh my God. These are really, like, that's not what I thought her, like, allegations were going to be. I thought it was just, like, him being a dick, not him, like, whipping out his dick. Disgusting, yeah, because
she did say asshole.
Yeah, this is more than asshole.
This is, like, different than, like, what you would expect asshole behavior to be.
That's why I thought he was just running around set yelling at everybody, you know?
Yeah. Well, he, as we know, is not taking these allegations lying down. I'm sure he will in some way respond to these charges because he had put out that really strong statement the other day when she called him and named him as the asshole. So,
yeah. And he, like, not only did he his rep, like, vehemently deny, he said he had proof.
Yeah, I'll say the statement again. I don't know how
you, yeah.
He said, his rep told Page Six, the claims are demonstrably false and directly contradicted by extensive detailed evidence, including contemporaneous documents, film footage, and eyewitness accounts from those present before, during, after the production. Well, not the contemporaneous documents.
Yeah, like, it sounds like he has evidentiary support, as Elle Woods would say, and he's taken the dog. So I don't know, like, these are such specific, like, I do believe Rebel Wilson. Like, this is really...
For sure. I mean, I didn't see Grimsby, but the movies that I did see, like, A Finger Up the Butt, it seems like
very
classic SBC content.
But I assumed in movies, like, you're not actually putting your finger up someone's, but I thought, like, you know, the way you could stage it and prosthetics. Finger. Yeah, like something. And of course, like, you don't have to go all the way up. You could just, like, curl your finger and it looks, you know, like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe a sleight of the hand.
Yeah, like you're a magician. I really didn't think that.
Well, maybe he'll come back with, like, you know, with the prosthetic finger he wanted to wear, like.
Yeah, we'll hear his side, but this
for the prosthetic finger on the prop this is department. Really
like atrocious like behavior.
It's yeah,
gross.
Yeah, I have a feeling this story will be coming back.
Oh, for sure, it'll be a developing story.
It's a developing story. Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Also a developing story.
Yeah,
that had been developing, and I think will develop further.
And will continue to develop?
The developing nature of this story will develop, accordingly. Okay. Christine Quinn's husband files for a restraining order against her and denies hitting their son.
Okay, giving victim.
Christine Quinn's husband, Christian Richard, filed for a restraining order against the former reality star after he was arrested for domestic violence last week. According to court documents obtained by Page Six, he requested that the Selling Sunset alum be ordered to stay at least 100 yards from his LA home, which he also asked her to move out of. He also requested that she not travel with their 10-year-old son, their 2-year-old son, Christian, outside of LA without his permission. He claims in the documents that she is capable of abducting their child. He further claims that she has a history of threatening to take away or hide their son from him and has not been cooperative in co-parenting.
No, I would abduct my child too if you threw a glass bottle at him. Like,
yeah.
Obviously, she's abducting him for a reason, you know? Obviously, she's threatened to, like, keep the kid away from him for a reason.
Take him away or hide him from...
from you.
Abusive behavior.
It's giving victim energy when you're not the victim. And hashtag I stand with Christine Quinn.
Yeah.
It's as simple and as complicated as that.
Yeah.
Just who would have thought, like, this the way this whole marriage, like, happened, she just, like, showed up to season two with a fiancé... ended season two with, like, her, you her know, funeral-themed wedding, which was, like, all black.
Yeah.
And then they just, like, kind of lived quietly. You know, when they first started dating, I think everybody was like, okay, this is weird. Like the way it happened was weird. And, you know, she was so much more attractive than him. But he was very wealthy. So, you know, the scales were tipped. And then they just kind of, like, sat. They moved in silence, you know?
Yeah.
They had a baby. They were married for a while. And you were like, okay. Maybe this isn't weird. Maybe this is the real deal. And now I just have more questions than ever.
Yeah, me too.
Sad.
Really sad.
Always sad when it's like a child.
Yeah.
But I fully support the abduction and abdication of this child. And, you know, bring him across state lines. Like, love that for you.
Yeah, he thinks that she's going to take him to Texas because that's where her parents are and she's close to them.
How nice to be with their grandparents. It's so funny how, like, you can manipulate the law to be like, she's abducting my child, when, like, the reality is, like, the child's going to her his mom grandparents. Because, like,
she was just...
because the father is a domestic abuser.
Yeah.
Like, don't manipulate. That's not what the law is for, sir.
No. Oh, our next story is some more domestic violence news. This is just a heavy morning.
Oh, no. I know this story.
But it's really disturbing. Shahs of Sunset alum Mike Shuhead's ex-fiance is suing him for vicious and brutal domestic violence attacks. And what's more shocking is there are images of...
Yes, she probably had to provide some sort of proof.
Well, and also she had it. Like she has cameras
from
in
the
every
baby
room
cameras.
No, in every room in her house. There's living room. There's this nursery, and there looks to be her his closet. Actually, they just have cameras in every room in the house.
No, and the photos are jarring. But the one of, you know, him literally trying to suffocate her in the nursery is particularly upsetting.
Yeah. So Mike Shuhead from Saws of Sunset, his ex-fiance Paulina Ben Cohen, reveals for the first time the alleged horrifying abuse she experienced at the hands of the disgraced Bravo star in a bombshell lawsuit obtained by Page Six. The influencer claims in the complaint filed on Friday that she and Mike got into a heated argument over a hookah on March 27, 2022, which ultimately led to his domestic violence arrest. She says the alleged abuse reportedly began in verbal form with her then fiance yelling that she was a horrible mother, a fucking whore, and a piece of shit.
Oh my God.
When she asked him to leave their home, which they reportedly shared with her children from a previous relationship, right, and began to pack his things, he allegedly became physically violent. She claims in the suit that that Mike ran into the room, forcefully grabbed her hair and shoulder, and violently threw her to the ground. The complaint includes screenshots of security footage that appears to substantiate all of her claims. Page Six has reached out to him for comment, but did not immediately hear back. Mike allegedly told her that he would never leave their California property until she paid him for half of it. He then allegedly continued to physically abuse her by putting his hand over her face and trying to suffocate her several times as she struggled to breathe.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Yeah, like there's a lot of details here. And also, so there are still images that corroborate exactly what she's saying, but I imagine these are part of larger videos that also have sound, and what he's saying is probably recorded.
Oh my God, I have such a pit. I didn't even know these two were still together because Shaws of Sunset has been off the air. And by when the show was ending, she was like this great girl in his life. And he was just this like douchebag LA guy who like wouldn't settle down, and she loved him so much and he loved her, but like not enough to stop being a prick. And she also was very mature. You know, she has kids from a previous relationship. She's looking to settle down. She's not looking to like run around LA and be like a reality star.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they were still together, I didn't know that. And I don't even know if I knew that they got engaged. I can't remember if that was on the show. So this was just like a reminder to me that these two people were still together. And I loved Paulina in the show. Like she was really
Well, I don't
really
know
tough.
If they were together past this incident, which was 2 years ago.
Oh.
Because that's when he was arrested for domestic violence.
Oh, but now it's making news because the proof is like public
information.
Got it. Okay, so they're not together.
I don't think, no.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not.
Ex-fiance, it says a million times.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, now everything's making more sense to me. Thank you so much. Horrifying. And the thing is, I was reading a lot of commentary on this and people were like, oh, like I always knew, like he was, I did not. Like he was a dick, loser, reality star douchebag.
Like LA douchebag, but that's a far cry.
And really rude to the girls he dated. But like he was so family oriented and he loved his mom so much. And you know what? It's always the assholes who love their mom, okay? Like they use that as some sort of shield. Like, I love my mom.
For
I won't
sure.
hurt women.
A shield.
And you know, now I'm like, maybe I think you like your mom too much. No, I hate that. No, I don't blame the mothers. I don't. I do not.
Yeah.
I do not. But something went seriously wrong if you're suffocating
your
fiance. Yes,
yeah, I agree with that.
So I don't blame the mom, but I have questions.
Yeah.
I blame the man. Every grown man is responsible for their own behavior.
Yeah.
But where are we picking up on that sort of behavior?
Yeah.
And, you know, very upsetting footage.
Very upsetting. Very upsetting story.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
I hope for swift justice for her.
Me too. I feel like the fact that this case has gone on for 2 years, like how long must she live in this misery, you know, and keep reliving it every time like the lawyer calls?
Yeah.
Just get it done.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Quiet on Set will launch a fifth episode called Breaking the Silence with a new Drake Bell interview and more. So a surprise fifth episode of the docuseries Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, will air on April 7th on ID and then stream on Max. So the new episode of the unscripted series detailing the alleged on-set treatment of child actors will include interviews from earlier subjects, including Drake Bell, all that cast members, Giovanni Samuels and Brian Hearn, Brian Hearn's mother, Tracy Brown, as well as a new interviewee, all that cast member Shane Lyons, who will be interviewed by journalist Soledad O'Brien for an important discussion about the industry then and now. Episode 5 will be building off revelations explored in the first four episodes and include a conversation led by O'Brien on where the industry can go from here. What's also just interesting factoid is that according to ID, the first four episodes of Quiet on Set have been watched by 16 million viewers across cable network ID and streamers Max and Discovery Plus since the episodes premiered. The show has reached the largest audience of an unscripted series since the launch of Max in May.
Oh, so this was like huge for Max.
Huge for Max. A lot of people are watching this. I think a lot of people needed to watch this, so I'm glad to hear that. But I also felt, I don't know if I said this on the show or just to you, but like when the documentary ended, I was like, I feel like more people now after seeing this and seeing like we're busting it open, like I feel like more people might share their story.
So I had felt like by the middle of the fourth episode, they should have really ended it at the third. I thought the fourth episode was like really... like, especially the last 20 minutes, like, they've just had a hard time, like, landing the plane. I felt like it was too long, honestly. And so a fifth episode makes no sense to me unless, you know, the response to people's response to, like, Drake Bell speaking out and, you know, being so brave inspired someone else to then share their story. So if they're just going to have this sort of referendum on the industry, like, I felt like they kind of beat the horse dead in the first four episodes. But if there's new information, and I think maybe the success of the documentary could inspire somebody to, and how everybody sort of treated Drake afterwards with, like, you know, real love and care, maybe that inspired somebody else to share their story. But if not, I feel like they're just kind of milking it.
I don't think, I'm not getting milking it. I feel like there's more stories out there and the hugeness of this documentary and how everyone is running scared, all of these criminals and just bad faith actors and bad faith producers and bad faith creators. Like, I feel like people might feel safe to come and share more.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. So... that will air, what did I say? April 7th.
April 7th. Yeah, I agree if like new information is coming to light. And Soledad.
Bring in the Soledad. Big guns.
Bring in the big guns, yeah.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. And are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I think I'm not.
She thinks she's not.
The fifth and final story is brought to you by Macy's. If you're looking to mix up your vibe for spring, Macy's has the preppy and polished looks to wear anywhere, like a cute brunch outfit with your best friend. They basically got tailored tweeds mixed with bright hues that perfectly balance playful with proper. So the brands that they carry, literally top to bottom, are going to be... they're going to have what you're looking for. So they have Lacoste, Tommy Hilfiger, and more iconic brands that put their own fresh spin on the preppy look. You can check out your new favorite styles at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. With Easter coming up, it's also important to like be on point with your Easter looks, giving pastel, giving preppy, giving gingham, giving colorful. And you can, you know, by the way, Easter's early. It's literally in a few days. From pastel outfits for the whole family to brunch ready serveware, Macy's has got you covered. Indoor items, outdoor items, homeware, dinnerware, whatever you're looking for, whatever you need for Easter, for the kids, for the man in your life, for yourself, you will be able to find at Macy's.com. And the Michael Kors sale is happening right now at Macy's. Get 25% off handbags and men's looks, as well as women's shoes, accessories, just in time for spring. Head over to Macy's.com to check out the great deals. Some exclusions do apply. See details also at Macy's.com. So whether you're just looking to polish up on your style, whether you need stuff for Easter, or you want to shop that Michael Kors sale, head to Macy's.com today, Macy's.com. They have everything you could possibly need for spring. Today's episode is also brought to you by Seed. Small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 capsules a day. So your body's an ecosystem, and great health does start in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for skin, digestion, your heart, your immunity, and more. So what you need when you need it, with Seed's patented capsule-in-capsule design, means that fragile bacteria will survive the journey from shipping to your door to where it works best in your body. It's backed by science. DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. So the prebiotics and probiotics work best when you are using them consistently, like any other healthy routine. And Seed subscription service will help you easily build that habit because they're going to build DS01 into your routine. There is no refrigeration needed. It's the refill you need. It's already on the way. It's going to help you stay consistent. You don't have to like remember to set an alarm or anything. So trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. There's so many benefits, whether it's your gut, your skin, your digestion. You know, if you're looking to make more consistent, better feeling poo, Seed is really going to help with that. And of course, we have a discount for you guys. If you go to seed.com/toast and use the code 25toast, you'll get 25% off your first month of the DS01 Daily Symbiotic. That's 25% off your first month with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed, SEED.com/toast. The code is 25toast. That's 25TOAST.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our fifth and final story is a little more content legal news. I think that really sums up the episode.
Content legal news, I love.
Netflix has lost a bid to dismiss the Inventing Anna defamation lawsuit.
Oh.
So a former friend of con artist Anna Sorkin was allowed on Tuesday to proceed with a defamation lawsuit against Netflix over the Shonda Rhimes miniseries Inventing Anna. Netflix had argued that Rhimes and the other show creators have a literary license to give their interpretation of events. In rejecting that argument, the judge found that at least some of the characterizations in the show could cross the line into defamation.
That's like so crazy.
Yeah, the plaintiff, Rachel, you would like think that they would like be concerned of these things as they're making a show.
Right, and I feel like a million real life scenarios are made into movies and TV shows, and I can't recall one where... I know people have sued over whatever, where defamation like was found.
So defamation hasn't been found here, but so it was Rachel Deloach Williams who was depicted as abandoning Anna in Morocco and ultimately betraying her to the...
Rachel is the defendant?
Rachel.
Not Anna?
Not Anna.
She said... Well, I will say, after watching the documentary... I thought Rachel was a big old loser.
Right. Well, she claimed that 16 separate sets of statements in the series falsely portray her as snobbish, unethical, and greedy. She's suing for defamation.
I didn't think she was any of those. I thought she was the biggest loser on the planet and who could like so easily be manipulated by this obvious con woman. That's what I got from the show.
Well, she's suing for defamation. Netflix tried to dismiss the suit and the judge said, no, the suit goes forward. Like there could be defamation.
I'm in shock that it's Rachel.
It's Rachel. Miss Rachel.
No, to me, that's so shocking. I thought it was like Anna Delvey, like looking to have a moment. And yeah, she wasn't a con woman because she's delusional. You know, she still maintains her innocence. I thought it was going to be that. No. I didn't think she was unethical at all. Like what she left, what's her face in Morocco? Like she had to go.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't think she'll win, but you're right. Like, them not dismissing it is pretty major. Like, she does have somewhat of a case.
Yeah. So, TBD. That would TBD set that. Precedent.
It would. Like, I think it might scare Netflix and other, like, production companies and streamers into how they document real-life events.
Yeah.
Or recreate real-life events.
Yeah, but don't they usually say in the beginning, like, this is
things have been changed.
Yeah. And that kind of covers them.
Legally. But now I'm thinking, was there that with Anna? I feel like they always say, like, you know, these conversations, like how with the Crown.
Yeah.
Like, these conversations weren't had, but, like, overall it's based on true events.
Yeah, but the Crown is always like, we're fiction. Even though...
Yeah, they need to stop, even though they're real everything.
Real everything. Fiction.
Like, the Crown is real.
It's just a coincidence. The Queen is Elizabeth, and the King is Philip, and the son is Charles.
Stop it.
They live at Buckingham Palace.
No, literally, it's so stupid. And like, Diana died.
Everything.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
So it's worth that side stories. You needed to know them. You did.
And next up is Dear Toasters, our weekly advice segment that Jackie and I love to do. It's every Wednesday, and if you ever want to write in, you need advice from your squirrel friends, you can do so in one of two ways. You can email us, deartoasters@gmail.com, or you can head over to our website, thetoastpodcast.com. Scroll down, there's a little submission box. Both are, you know, totally anonymous. We're never going to share your information or anything. And we can help you with anything from workplace drama, relationship drama. Are you being cheated on? We can help you. We might not if your prompt is boring, but we can. First up, Dear Jackson Claude, My fiance and I travel often, and I always take the middle seat on planes so that he can have the aisle due to his height and his back problems. He is 6'1", and I'm 5'5", for reference. He recently got airline status, and when we were talking about an upcoming trip, he said he hopes he gets upgraded to business class. I was immediately mad and asked if he thought it was okay to leave me in the economy middle seat between two strangers if he gets upgraded, and he didn't see any issue with it. Am I crazy for being angry? If I was flying alone, I would never choose the middle seat, but is it similar to any other seat, and am I overreacting? Thanks for your guidance.
You're not overreacting. That's too far. It's like, if one of you can get upgraded, then you go to business and he takes the aisle. Like, he doesn't leave you in the dust, especially while you've been in the middle for him all these years.
Which is generous. Can we talk about that? Like, me and Ben, because Ben is really tall and I'm really short and you're really short too, when we fly, we will literally never take a middle seat. We will always do two aisles. Like, we'd rather be further back in two aisles than close, even Delta Comfort, like, with a middle seat.
Oh, that's insane. I've never heard of that. Like, if Zach and I were both, if we were flying together, or like when we used to fly the two of us, if we were in a...
Three and three.
Yeah, no, I would be in the middle and he would get the window.
Oh, that's so crazy. I'm so against middles. Like, I think middles are the most devious, disgusting places. That, what's wrong with sitting on two aisles? I think that's so nice.
Or I would get the window and he would get the middle. But if it was an aisle, he would get the aisle, I would get the middle. But yeah, no, I definitely took one for the team like a couple times and I'm in the, but we never, same. We never thought to do aisle. I don't love the aisle.
Oh, but I think aisle, and I shouldn't have even said that because I feel like I'm giving people a hack that me and Ben like love and it's protected. We always do aisle.
Interesting. Anyways, also had to say, like, your man is so wrong for this that he would leave.
He should be, first of all, giving you the upgraded seat.
Of course.
Like, I like how that wasn't even a part of the conversation. She's just mad that he's leaving her in the middle seat.
And if he, like, honestly, then he shouldn't upgrade if you have to stay in the middle seat. Like, if he can't move that seat to an aisle or a window, he can't leave you. I'm sorry, that's so wrong.
He can't, by the way, I think, like, you have to take the upgrade. That's how you build status. That's just a part of having status. First of all, you need to start building up your status, too. Like, go to thepointsguy.com and figure it out, bitch. Like, he can't be the only one. But, you know, my husband is 6'1", and maybe I'm just, like, exposing myself as, like, a bitch here. But, like, if I get upgraded, like, bye.
No, but the problem is there's an upgraded seat and a middle seat. And middle. He won't sit in the middle because of his back.
Well, he needs to.
All of a like, sudden,
because
he
there's
went
a chance from having he has an a aisle. Ticket out.
He went from having an aisle and business class to the middle?
Because he has the middle with a chance of business class. So he might leave you and that's fine because you're in the aisle.
No. What she's saying is he was in the aisle and she was in the middle. Aisle man got upgraded to business. They lost the seat.
So, no, I get it. I'm saying in the future.
Oh, in the future. But in this instance, they
no, by the way, now that he gets like a 50% chance of getting upgraded, he no longer has the privilege of sitting in the aisle. You have get the to, aisle and you're allowed to be mad at the, about
yeah,
this.
Book his seat as the middle, book your seat as the aisle. If one of you gets upgraded, then if he gets upgraded, then you take business and he can keep his aisle.
Yep. But I think a conversation needs to be had about the fact that, you know, if me and Ben were in coach and he got upgraded, like that seat is mine. I'm a woman.
You're not going to leave me in the dust.
Yeah, like, bye.
Bye, thank
and
you.
And also, it's so funny because Ben and I have, like, different quirks about certain things. And I feel like you have quirks, too. Like, you're very particular about hotel rooms. Me, like, I don't really give a fuck. Ben will move a hotel room 45 times. Ben will sit on the last seat next to the toilet and not give a flying fuck. Whereas if I'm not in the first row, like, I can't go. So everybody has their own travel quirks. So if there is one first class seat, like, we're taking it and I'm taking it. But if we get to the hotel and the room is not sufficient, like, oh, yes, I'll follow Ben around the hotel room moving until we find the right one.
Yeah.
So everybody has their own travel quirks. Some people don't mind middle seats at all.
Not everything can be important to you. And in a relationship, you need to know, like, what's for the other person.
Yeah. Okay, our next one is a little legal news. I am in need of major advice. My fiance and I are planning on signing a prenup. I requested that we have one as I have family money and properties. Okay, queen. He is totally fine with it. Here's the issue. I am a lawyer, so I'm going to be the one drafting the document. My fiance wants to have his parents look it over. They're both lawyers. Something about that doesn't sit right with me. I don't want it to be in my in-laws knowing the intimate details of my family's financial situation. Am I being a wench? Would you guys be okay with your in-laws reading your prenup?
I would expect that they would know some version of it. Like, I don't think that's so crazy.
I don't know. I agree with the weirdness.
And yeah, it is a little weird, but like you're not paying legal fees. So like now he doesn't have to pay legal fees. What else? Yeah. Like his parents are lawyers. Like what else is he? Does he even know another lawyer then?
So I think like if you're really uncomfortable with it, you then have to bring in your own counsel and ask your husband, be like, honestly, this feels like a little intimate. Why don't we both just get separate lawyers to like make things less weird?
Yeah.
Like if you want to request that they take a step back, you do too.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But then you're paying like through the nose for lawyers.
Well, she's got properties and his parents are lawyers. It doesn't sound like money's an issue here. Love.
True.
But I agree with the weirdness. Like,
yeah, no, that's like weird. I don't,
like post separation prenup, of those church types and of documents. State. And they have really, I think, like a lot of information about you in those documents.
Yeah, no, but
so like, but at the end, you have every right.
Depending on how close he is with them, like everything that's in there, he would probably be sharing with them anyway. But it is, it's a little close for comfort.
And you're entitled to feel weird. And if you're going to ask that they like not be involved, you also can't be involved.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good solve.
I think so.
Yeah. Our third and final is like really light and funny and stupid. Hey, girly swirlies, love and adore you. Thank you for the years of entertainment. I started talking to this guy for like 3 weeks. We're all green flags across the board, pijam potential. But I have a really big ick. He keeps using the catchphrase, booyah. He uses it daily. I haven't heard it used in real life, but over text constantly. Some examples would be, yeah, my interview went well. Thanks for asking. Booyah. Yeah, plane landed safely. Booyah! He uses the phrase so often, I cannot tell if it's a joke or if he's completely serious. Is this enough of an ick to never speak to this man again? Or should I bring up the conversation of putting a halt to this shit? Help.
Okay, I have so many things to say. First of all, I do not find the word booyah icky at all. I think it's hysterical and an underused term.
I kind of agree.
Second of all.
But by the way, we can't help what gives someone the ick.
No, here's the thing. You guys have gotten crazy about your icks and TikTok has made you feel validated. That's icky. Like it was funny when it started, but a man who's green flags across the board, he's excited that his plane land.
He's positive.
He said, booyah, and you want to say I'd never speak to him again? Like, what are you just drowning in eligible men?
Oh my God, Jackie's dragging this generation to filth. You're right, by the way. Like, ick culture has gotten too out of control where we're actually writing people off for being human.
No, and it was and funny. And what,
having a personality?
It was funny at first, like, these small niche things that, like, give you the ick. Ha, ha, ha. But, like, you seriously are going to end things with an otherwise perfectly great man because he uses a word that you don't like. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that word. Yeah, maybe if he was using the C word all the time, I'd say, ooh, that's icky.
By the way, she's not saying that she's going to leave him. She said, like, Claudia, should I say something?
She said never speak to him again. Read it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. Is this a big enough ick to never speak to this man again, or should I bring up the conversation? You should do neither. If you bring up the conversation, you will look so
nitpicky, crazy. You've been C-word. Dating for 3 C-word. Weeks.
C-word. Like controlling. No, but like controlling. Like he'll be like, God, this woman's a cunt. Like, I can't just be happy.
No, and also if he's anything like me, I get attached to words for a period of time. And then I move
referendum.
On. I move emblematic. On to the next word, nefarious, even though that one is here to stay. But like
forever.
Low key.
It's a forever
there was
word.
A time Claudia was saying hella all the time.
Yeah, no, we both really become like obsessed with the words. Not everyone's like that. And this might be a permanent thing. And if it is, like, oh, his biggest crime is he's happy.
He says booyah, which is hysterical.
It's also a celebratory word, which means this man has a lot to celebrate in his life and we should be happy and grateful.
You got to flip it on
Jackie
his head.
O just gave these bitches perspective. You're right, by the way, about the ick thing.
Yeah, it's gotten too far. I was like, funny. It's not meant to be something that you break up with someone over. It's just like you just kind of like clench your butt cheeks and pretend like you didn't see it and move on.
And by the way, like icks, you're right, aren't supposed to be deal breakers because I love my husband so much and he is icks. Like he of does course. Something. I'm like, not to be like, sorry, he got a haircut this morning. Ick. He came back and he was like, it's a little short. I was like, no, it's totally fine. And good thing he never listens to this podcast. It is so short.
He looks like
he's about to jacket.
Is it on his
story? He looks like he's about to join the army.
Stop. That's, I like.
I said, you kind of have a buzz cut. Which Ben, you know, like Ben never goes short. He like loves his long curly hair.
Oh, damn. It's not on his story. He must really not like
that's
it.
How bad it is. I'll take a picture and send it to you. He has a full blown buzz cut.
That is.
And like, it's terrible. An ick, but what should I do? Divorce him?
No, you just got to close your eyes until it grows back.
Exactly. And thank God it'll be back by the weekend. Like Ben, boy's hair grows so fast.
Right. Zach always sometimes gets like a super short haircut. And I'm like, okay, tomorrow it will be back.
I'm not worrying. I'm like, take a prenatal. You'll be fine.
Icks are not red flags. I don't know when they became those, but you don't have to run for an ick. You just have to cringe and clench your butt cheeks and move on.
Yeah, you don't run, you clench.
Yeah. Booyah.
See, Jackie, I know you hate your toasters, but the generation, they need you.
I know they do. And like I said, like, I get in it. Like, I don't half-ass my advice. I don't say, oh, yeah, break up with your boyfriend. Like, I will take the time. But it's emotionally taxing on me. It is.
Yeah. Well, thank you to everyone who was vulnerable with us and who wrote in. And if you've written in to us and we've read your prompts on air and you have an update for us, did things go bad? Did things go well? Did you take our advice? Did you not take our advice? Send us an update. We would love to hear from you. Like, don't leave us hanging. Don't use and abuse. DearToasters@gmail.com, thetoastpodcast.com for Dear Toasters. Thank you so much to everybody for listening to today's show. Thank you, Jax, for being here and just coming in as your authentic best self.
And thank you, Claudia, for holding space for multiple true things at the same time.
It was an honor and a privilege.
Love ya. Booyah.
Wait, I didn't do my, wait.
Oh.
Wait.
I was excited about my sign off. I jumped the gun.
Wait, okay. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Melody Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe, please, and give this video a thumbs up. We are also available as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to us every day, it would actually be really helpful if you were to follow us, like subscribe to our show, and also leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Thank you so much. We love you dearly, and we'll see you on the next one.
Love ya. Booyah. Bye.